Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, you naughty monkey. Thanks for tuning in. It's Sex Nerd Sandra, and this is quite an episode. Kurt Braunohler is talking about all sorts of things that people don't generally pick apart, and I just wanted to go deep with him. So I was like, you, here, now, let's talk about the things. Really, I think the topic of young, early relationships in our lives and how to do them well versus how we don't do them well, especially if you want those relationships to last. This conversation is all about questions that come up a lot for me, professionally and personally. So I'm so excited that you're listening to this episode. Before we begin, a few dates. I will be in Portland next week, July 17th. I'm hosting a live podcast. Believe me, you want to come to a live podcast. It is really fun. I am going to be interviewing Erica Moen, which is the creator, and she's the cartoonist of Ojoy Sex Toy, a hilarious comic. Check that out for sure. Google it. Pause if you need to. Look that up. So I'll be doing that. Then that Sunday in Portland, I'll be teaching at Shebop. You can go to sheboptheshop.com for details. I'm teaching Boning 101, one of my most popular classes. Then I come back to Los Angeles, and I will be teaching at the LA Academy of Sex Ed. You can go to laacademyofsex.com for more details. I will be teaching Balls Deep, The Fundamentals of Fellatio, July 22nd. And I think there's only like 3 or 4 tickets left for that. So believe me, if you want to go to that, you really should. It's the inaugural class for the Academy. It's very exciting. And you get free stuff. We have a sponsor for that LA class. Lots of fun. I will be in D.C. in August. I will be at the Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit. Before that, I'll be at the Reed Mahalko's Sex Geek Summer Camp. All of the links for all the things I'm doing the next couple months are on my website, sexnerdsandra.com. I will say, though, that I just checked my website because my internet's not working right now. I checked it on my phone, and I can't actually see my event details on my phone. So I was like, that's an important thing to work out. So you have to go probably on a computer. Go check that. And there's also, of course, I'm posting stuff on Twitter, on my Facebook page. Without further ado, I'm just so glad you get to listen to this. Let's take a look with our ears to my conversation with Kurt Braunohler. Braunohler? I still don't get it. Oh God, Braunohler.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Now let's talk about marriage.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
You would love eye contact.
I know I do. Okay.
That's great. I'm totally comfortable with eye contact.
Okay, well... Hi.
Hello.
I'm going to try and blink more.
That's okay. Look, I have not broken eye contact at all.
Okay, so you're good, too. You're actually really good at eye contact.
Excellent
at
eye contact.
So, Kurt Braunohler.
Yes.
No, I didn't do it.
Yeah, Braunohler.
Okay, I did it. All right, cool.
That's right.
I snuck it by him. Yeah. I messed up.
Everyone messes up. It's a terrible name.
It is okay. The last name Doherty is like people put Doherty.
Well, you know, when my friend is named David O'Doherty. Because he's Irish. And so whenever I see Doherty, I want to say Doherty.
Really? Like, is
that's
it spelled...
like the OG. That's like the OG pronunciation of Doherty. And...
Doherty. Like, yeah. Almost like a K.
Yeah. O'Doherty.
Huh. O'Doherty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, it's like almost an orgasm, but not quite. It's like...
O'Doherty. It's the grossest orgasm. Oh, O'Doherty.
I was thinking about almost to the K, but, oh. You know... But yeah, also totally an orgasm. So someone listening is like, that's me.
Yeah, it sounds like a half vomit, half sneeze when I come.
Hey, I'm not judging. I mean, secretly.
Hey, I'm judging. Look, non-judgment there, judgment right here.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I heard you on This American Life. I think it was a Valentine's Day episode.
Yes.
Where have you been on twice?
Once.
Okay.
I think they used a portion of a story in another thing, but that's the big one.
All right, awesome. Yeah, and it was a delight to hear about the story you told, and I was like, I was in the kitchen and going, I need to talk to this guy about this. And from my memory, it was, you were in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
for over a decade.
Yep,
there was a marriage involved. And then at some point there was a rumspringa. Where you guys were like, hey, let's try and open up before marriage, right?
It was before. It was in order for us to, essentially I came to her after 13 years and I was like, why haven't we gotten married yet? Like, why mm-hmm. We never even talked about it. And she said, well, I think we should sleep with other people first before we decide. And I was like, okay. And it sounds like it would be a crazy thing to say, but we both had like kind of talked about things in that general area before. And so we decided, but like once you decide that you're going to sleep with other people and then, but try and stay in a relationship, it's just a weird thing of like how you start it or when you start it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we did this thing where we just decided that we were going to take 30 days and not live with each other and have sex with as many people as we possibly could and then come back and then decide whether or not we want to get married, is a crazy idea.
That is a premise for a movie.
Yeah.
Or possibly several seasons of a TV show.
Yeah, well, TV show, it already got shot down. I already wrote it for HBO.
Aww. Why you gotta do that?
Why you gotta do that, HBO?
Yeah. Come on. Okay. Part of me feels almost unethical in that I don't want to spoil the story if people want to go back and listen to the This American Life.
I think it'll probably be different.
There was kind of the end of the story. And This American Life is where I want to pick up to go back and re-examine.
Okay, I don't even remember how I ended it.
So it was this relationship, the rumspringa, right? Uh-huh. And then your relationship kind of didn't fall apart, but it just, you guys kind of realized that it was time to go to part.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was at the end of we did it for 30 days and then we came back together and then she said she needed more time and I was more than happy to have another month. Mm-hmm. And then, but then during that second month, we also dated each other as well as other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a gig in Australia and I went away for the next month. So for a third month. And then there I met somebody who had just, became, I think it was like a bunch of emotions all like packed together and crazy feelings.
Yeah.
And so then it was also that because I kind of fell in love with her in Australia, I came mm-hmm. back and ended the relationship because of that.
Okay.
Which I think is what the risk you run when you just open it up to just having sex with whoever.
Right.
Whoever you want to have sex with.
And not knowing if you're a casual sex person or if you're more of a fall in love person or, a lot of
feelings.
And
I find I'm both.
Yeah.
I would fall in mini love with so many people. But it would the longer you did, the more people I had sex with, the more I would be aware that it was just a temporary feeling. That infatuation the first few times.
Okay.
But at first I did not understand that. I didn't understand this just excitement of having sex with someone for the first time. Because mm-hmm. I had never done it. I had sex with her and then we got into a 13-year relationship.
Ah.
So that was I got into a little trouble there.
So I love a little timeline mm-hmm. stuff. So when did this 13-year relationship start? How old were you?
18.
You're 18.
First, the third day of college.
Okay.
We met.
At the beginning of college, you're in this relationship. So let me do some math. 31 is when rumspringa happened.
Yeah.
Why haven't we gotten married, etc. And the 3 months that changed it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And what really touched me was that there was this realization where you talked about how you can love many people, and Polly was kind of a thing. Was that on This American Life? I don't know how much I've stalked you.
Okay.
A while ago. Okay. I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah. Nerdist. Oh, you, because you have a podcast on Nerdist as well.
Yeah.
K-hole.
The K-hole. Yeah, that is correct.
Cool.
Multi-format podcast.
Yeah, because it's the O and the H and then dyslexia in my brain, and then I get insecure. So I was like, what? K-hole.
There we go.
And I don't know, did Polly come into your life after that point at all? Like, was that a thing, or am I...
No, I never... No. I never...
Oh, okay.
I never, put that out being like, I'm polyamorous. I mean, I for all intents and purposes, when I was single, was... Because I was having sex with multiple people, but would never just be like, listen, I'm polyamorous and this is going to stay this way. It was more like just playing the field.
Yeah. Like there was just, I don't know, there was something about, and that, something about that innocent relationship that one has when you're kind of learning all that love stuff
mm-hmm.
and what it is. And then the after that point, you kind of look back and realize what that was.
Yeah, I wonder about that a lot. I mean, I don't know what, I mean, like, I don't know, I don't have a clear view of what that was. Do you know what I mean?
You're still like kind of examining it.
I guess so, but I mean, more like, I'm happy that we did that thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy,
yeah.
And I'm okay with it that it ended, and so is she, do you know? Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, I think it would have been a life of always wondering and feeling unfulfilled and feeling resentful. I think that's what it would have been if we had continued.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's important. That's a key thing that I'm interested in.
Yes.
I'm rubbing my fingers together because
yeah.
it's that exciting. When you feel that feeling unfulfilled, like if, let's say, Rumspringa never happened,
yes.
And let's say you just kept on being in a relationship or you got married or whatever, why would you have been unfulfilled? Like, did you kind of know?
I feel like I wouldn't have been, if I was still in that relationship, I probably would not be, I don't think I would be a successful comedian.
Okay.
Because it really does, like, when you've been, like, that 13-year thing from 18 on, it would have gone one way or the other. Like, I think I had to end that relationship in order to feel the concept of possibility. Because
okay.
when you've had something going for 18 years, life feels very much, like it's going to go this way. Things are inevitable in some way, that's what it feels like. And when you end that and you're totally alone, and you're really scared, you also realize the flip side of that is like all of this possibility that you can make something for yourself on your own. And I think that fueled me just really committing to doing stand-up and getting better at it.
Okay,
and
so that was the turning point.
My living. Yeah.
Yeah, and you were very funny. I saw you on At Midnight.
Oh, cool.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
I love it. It's
funny.
A great show.
Yeah. We actually ran into each other at... we hadn't met yet. We'd been emailing.
Yes.
You mind if I mention this?
Oh, not at all.
It was actually rather embarrassing because you walked by me. We were in a theater.
Seeing my fiance's show.
Oh, was she your fiance?
Yeah.
You did have flowers in your hand.
Yeah,
Lauren Cook's Chinatown bust.
Yes.
Yeah, which was delightful and inspiring to me, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of cojones.
Yeah.
Is that how the cool kids say it? But yeah, I just was like, oh my God, that was hilarious, and et cetera. So, you walk by me, and I just kind of like, you're that guy I've been emailing with, and you're in person. I just saw you at Midnight, but we're going to podcast, and I'm just like, in my brain, like, this is really weird that I'm running into you right now at this thing.
And I was just so nervous for her. I was like, yes, that is me. Hello, hello. And I just sat down.
Oh, you were nervous for her? Was she nervous?
No, she wasn't. I was nervous.
Oh.
Like, I don't get nervous when I perform. I get nervous when she performs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is she allowed to know that?
It's like... Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I think it's just me caring for her.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just want her to do a good job. See, because, like, when I know I'm performing, like, I know I can... Like, I'm in control of what I'm about to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I want her to do well, but then I'm like, there's nothing I could do.
Oh.
There's nothing I could do to make this go any different than the way it's gonna go.
Yeah, strap
in. So I just
in.
Have to sit and watch.
Oh, I get that. I feel that when you say that. It's like, oh,
yeah,
I can see that. Not like when your friend's band performs and you know they kind of suck and you're afraid for them. Not that one.
No.
that's a different fear.
Yeah.
I know that fear.
That's being embarrassed.
Oh,
that's
okay.
not being nervous for.
Yeah. That's a good distinction.
Yeah.
And important in this town, especially. No, when you went up and I was like, oh, Kurt, sorry, Sandra. And I pointed at my face because I was like, oh, of course you wouldn't know what I look like because we've just been emailing. Like, I don't expect you to know who I am.
Yeah.
And then I said, like, sex nerd Sandra. And I realized it's not something you yell in public.
Oh, yeah. No, but it helped me clear it up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Then
it
I knew who
helpful.
You were. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was like, Sandra, you know, be cool on the street, man. Be cool.
Be cool on the street, even when you're in a theater.
Be Batman.
Cool on that street.
Be Batman.
I guess be a Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Be Clark. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of those. okay, cool. And you're engaged. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
I don't know when that happened, but I'll pretend like it was a new thing because
it's
new for me.
It's pretty new.
Okay, yay! All right. So back to this marriage and not knowing necessarily what it was, but
uh-huh.
being happy for it, and then there being a turning point after
yes.
and possibility. This is why this... Okay, I'll tell you why this is so important to me.
Why?
Having a history of... I started dating when I was like 13, and I was in...
I think I did maybe 12.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, you beat me!
Nice. I always have to be 1 year earlier.
And my experience was being in one long relationship after like 3 years, 3 years, 3 years. I mean, and that's intense for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this relationship is going to go and we're going to get married and all these things are going to happen. And that's a lot of pressure and et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot more non-monogamy and like loose relationship styles out. Yeah. Like the young kids. I'm hearing when I talk to college students, there's a lot more of that. Like,
I think it's social media. I think that's what makes it like where it's just like, yeah, fuck a lot of people because you can.
There's a lot of pressure.
Your circle is so much wider now. Like when I was in college, I knew like 8 people and I lived with 4 of them. You know, like if I knew thousands of people all through my school, that would have been such a different experience for me.
Yeah. No, it's so helpful. I mean, online dating and like just being able to like shop around and kind
of
see.
Just swipe people to the left.
Yeah.
Get them out of here.
Yeah. Is left good? Is left bad? Do I want to be swept to the left or right? Left is bad.
Yeah, okay. Right is good, I think. That's what I've been asking people because I've never seen it. I've never
used really?
It.
Oh, I've got it on my phone. We could work this out. right now. No, on Tinder, yeah, it's really just swipey. But the thing is that I go on there for research. Like, I'm interested, but yeah. I'm not actively looking because Tinder, right. It's...
So when you swipe to the right, they immediately get your phone number and they can text you?
No, what is it? Is like if they swiped you a yes and they swiped you a yes, then it'll put you in contact.
Oh, I see.
But, and so even if I see someone that's kind of like, oh my God, I would totally go on a date with that person, I'm not going to swipe yes but it's kind of like, sorry, goodbye, my love. See you later. It's like, you seem awesome, but that's not what I'm looking for now. I'm just learning.
We start talking about Tinder.
Yeah. No, okay, so the kids. No,
okay, so you as a kid.
I do appreciate that there are other options, but at the time that I was going through all these relationships, it was like you are together, and at some point, if it works, there's going to be a marriage at some point. There's going to be a whole life. Like, you have now committed for life. Like, dating and being in a relationship was... a subtle consent toward a lifetime together.
Right.
And that was really stressful for me. And I didn't have any other, I didn't really know anything else.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, at 13, I was in that, at 16, I was in that, and 20. And every time I'd break up because I was so uncomfortable and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to express myself. That's my story. And soon I learned how to better express myself. And, you know, a lot of my 20s was a lot of practice on that.
Yeah.
And what I find by a lot of listeners, like one thing that happens, and I get asked this a lot, and part of the reason why I want to talk to you about this, is that a lot of folks will get married really young. You know, we'll be in a relationship for a very long time. Sometimes they are like, this is amazing, like we're having a good time, we get to explore the world together, and there's this kind of we're going to grow together thing. And sometimes it's like, well, here I am, and I've been married for 10 years to my college sweetheart, and they only get to be part of themselves, it seems.
That's what I think. Yeah.
And so I just want to explore. So you didn't seem that aware to it, but the minute you were out of it, you were like, oh.
I mean, I think when you have to like live on your own and like make all of your own decisions, you realize exactly what the other person, like what the other person was like responsible for in your life. Like, even if you take like a really stupid example of like she was the one who like would put things on the wall. And then when all of a sudden 3 months into living somewhere and you're living in like what looks like a jail cell and you're like, oh, this is a thing that I should learn how to do. Like, I should go out and buy things and put them on the wall. And then you put them on the wall and you're like, look at that. That's me. Like, that's a full expression of myself.
Yeah.
Which is a very cool and exciting thing. Mm-hmm. And then that, you know, you express yourself so much and you have like your whole little like world that's just you. And then you realize that it can be also very lonely as well. And then you're like, you know, you look for someone to come in. I think the best relationship is one where you can be full individuals, but I still think the longer you're with someone, the more it just like starts, you start to encroach on each other, you know, in a good way and in a bad way.
Right. It's something to watch and practice and
right. You have to be aware of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. But I still think it is that thing. And I don't think there's any hard and fast rule about, it's good to get married early or it's bad to get married early. I don't think there's anything. I think it really goes case by case completely.
See, absolutely. It is case by case. But what is it, like, you didn't realize until, I mean, you found that you could suddenly be more yourself. And so, do you wish that you'd had that earlier on? Or do you see now, like, it seems like you're currently in a relationship, that you realize now how the dynamic, how you could have communicated in a different way, or
no? I think what the main thing I think it allows the Rumspringa and the breakup allowed me to do was to dismiss doubts.
Okay.
Because I think when you don't have experience, the grass is so much greener. Mm-hmm. And because you have no idea what the grass is like, yeah. You know, and then when you get it and you get to fuck that grass, it is awesome. But then you also realize like most of the grass is like has a lot of problems and like is very crazy. And then you're just like, I fucked this grass and now this grass is like really insane. And so then you realize that there's like that every person has their full complement of problems and benefits, mm-hmm. and that they're all real people. And that there's no person that's just like the ideal person in any way, shape, or form. But absolutely. I think when you're in a long-term relationship from a young age, you put other people that you see on kind of a pedestal that they might be, oh, that person would be perfect for me.
Right.
Because you have no idea what goes on with them late at night or in the moments when they're alone with themselves.
Yeah, falling in love with a persona.
Yeah, it's so easy to do. People really do it all the time.
Yeah. Has that ever, I mean, just as someone who, I mean, I'm assuming you have like fans that look at you with like hearts in their eyes sometimes. A little bit. They're like, does it ever feel weird when someone like kind of, do you ever feel objectified by that where they like see you as a thing, but they don't actually know you? But
well, I think you get, as a stand up, you get objectified when you're on stage all the time by men and women. Mm-hmm. And usually it's just like, you're like, monkey, make me laugh, you know, like that sort of thing. Uh-huh. Like, so you're kind of comfortable with that in a response. The interesting thing, I think, on a personal level, is when I was single, at least, like when I would just do a set and then come off stage, like women would think that we were like buddies because they recognized something that I said, mm-hmm. that as being something that they felt or they identified with. And mm-hmm. so they would come up to me as if we knew each other and they would already be like, I like this guy because I said something that they thought was funny or interesting or whatever. And it was just like, but also it's like, that's an act that is specifically created for you to really like it. And it has a little bit to do with me because I wrote it and it's my idea, but it's mm-hmm. real. It's not like who I am.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a joke that I wrote.
That's a powerful thing to be able to create something, say it, entertain, and actually resonate something where they feel almost kindred with you.
But that's like the ideal, right? Like that's true. That's what I'm trying to do all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's the goal. And so when it works, it's great. You know,
what an art form.
It's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is like, it also makes it for like, that's why like you can be like a monster person and then just get laid all the time if you're a comedian.
There's that
like identification that happens.
Absolutely.
Where like they feel like they're connected to you and then you're just like, I don't know you.
Huh.
I didn't see you just do a set. Do you know what I mean? So I don't feel that immediate connection.
Yeah. It can be one-sided.
Can make you a monster a little bit. And so I'm happy that I'm out of that as well. Cause it's so easy it feels manipulative in my opinion.
I can see how that could definitely give you that ego, like someone an ego boost, and you kind of start to enjoy that kind of attention. And yeah, it can go in a weird direction.
It can go in a real weird direction.
Yeah.
And then eventually you just end up at a point where you're just like having to avoid talking to people after shows.
Huh. Yeah. Well, we could talk some shit, but we're not going to right now.
Okay.
I'm all like, yeah, like, who's a monster? Who's the secret monster?
I can't.
Yeah. The knowing laugh. Oh, I could only guess. I have guesses. Anyway, back to love.
Yeah, let's back to love.
Okay, so, wait. Oh, you were saying something about, I don't even know whose that is. Is it mine?
Don't touch it.
Oh, that's weird. There's like a trash on the table. I wanted to play with it. And that's
no, yeah. Bad idea.
Yeah. Give me a second. This is the part where I edit that out. Oh my God, you were totally saying something.
Do you edit?
I do. And I was listening to you saying that you do not edit. Like you're committed to not editing.
It probably makes for a less good show, not editing.
Well, but you're also practiced at filling in the gaps and kind of go, there's a certain, I am not a trained comedian, so, and my brain isn't that fast.
Yeah, it seems pretty fast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I slept well last night.
Nice work.
And I'm trying with that, but I'll just be like, hold up, and I'll just be standing there like, what was I just thinking? Like, I don't even really smoke that much pot, but for some reason, my brain, it's like, I don't know what I did.
It's Jell-O.
Yeah, maybe my mom drank when I was a baby. I don't know. So I have a question.
Yes.
Which is, you're in this relationship. So were you just like kind of happy the whole time? Because the thing is, I want to find someone else's experience other than my own, because you know, I'm not the anecdote that represents everyone. Right. Is that you were kind of like, this is awesome. I'm doing life, and this is my girlfriend. And then just one day you were like, oh, we're not married. This is weird. And then suddenly it all kind of was like, then like growth happened and exploration happened, or... like, were you happy the whole time in this relationship?
I would say that, yeah, pretty happy. Happy. And then I realized later, like, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. So, totally happy and content.
And fulfilled.
Fulfilled. Felt a little bit in a rut. Boring.
Okay.
A little bit. But in a content way.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly fantasized about other women, and when I would, and mm-hmm. I realized I would do this thing where when I would go away, mm-hmm. like for a job or something, mm-hmm. I would flirt super hard with women, mm-hmm. and then get them all the way up to the point where they were willing to like make out with me,
uh-huh.
and then I would walk away.
Huh.
Because I just wanted that. I wanted that to know that I was like, that I could do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I realize now, being a single person, that's such a dick move. It's such a horrible thing to do. Just lead someone on for a whole night, like really flirting with them, and then just be like, I have a girlfriend, and walk away. And that was just horrible. And I did that so often. And the amount of times I did that should have been like, I should have realized like there's something going on here, and I didn't. And then, so those are two things, kind of like slightly boring, and I was doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I realized that there were, now looking back on it, there was a general like discontent. Like we always had to like, I think we hadn't allowed each other to kind of explore different things because of the other person had always been there.
Okay.
You know, and I feel like,
are we talking
like
about romantically and sexually? Or are we talking about like rock climbing and new hobbies? And...
more like just like the way you interact socially with people.
Okay.
Like we've settled into roles. You know, mm-hmm. mine was the very outgoing one, and hers was the more reserved one.
I see.
And you know, and then I think after we broke up, like she had to like fill mm-hmm. in that part and become more outgoing because of that. You know. And then all of a sudden, like seeing when you see someone who you dated for so long and then mm-hmm. they're doing something they never did while they were with you,
right,
is always just like that fascinating thing. But that's exactly what happens. Like you fill in all those pieces of your life that you just didn't do because you never had to do them.
It's kind of like instead of that whole, because like, I was really into rom-coms.
Yeah.
Right? In
you should
up.
See They Came Together.
Oh, I want to see that hard.
Is so
it in theaters yet?
Good. Yes, it is.
Okay,
it
yeah,
is
I need to
so
see that.
So good. It's amazing.
Excellent.
For people who don't know, it's David Wayne's movie, and it takes all of like the, you know, ideas of a rom-com and just is a parody of them. It's so great.
It's time to just,
yeah.
It's a healing movie, I think, for
yeah,
me, maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe that'll be the thing.
Yeah.
But it's like all those fairy tales we tell about, oh, you complete me. Oh, I would die for you. Like all of this, you know, my soulmate. Like a lot of stuff where, because I love connection, you know, feeling like, or in kindredness and knowing that someone like feeds a part of me and like,
yeah.
And I connect strongly with people sometimes. I'm like, oh, but that doesn't mean that we should commit a lifetime together.
Right.
You know, that doesn't mean like we're, oh, this is the one that can happen. I mean, some people it doesn't happen or it's rare to happen. And some people it happens a lot, but it's. So I guess it depends on you. But the idea that you should just latch onto the first one where you feel that with and then explore it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a more common concept now than it used to be, is that like there's a bunch of ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a bunch of them out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about who you want to choose.
Yeah. And adding to the thing that you just said, it's like you were completing your, like you both learned to complete it yourselves.
Yeah.
Before somebody else came along to complete it.
Yes, exactly. And also another thing too is that like that's what I like about choice. Is that in a certain way it felt like, because we just became friends and mm-hmm. then just started sleeping with each other and then never, there was never like, do you want to go out with me or anything like that. Uh-huh. It just slowly slid into, well, this is what's happening. And it felt like there was never a hard choice saying mm-hmm. that's what we're doing. And that is the one thing that I do like now is that like I am engaged and mm-hmm. I chose this.
Yeah.
And with that choice comes a responsibility in mm-hmm. a way. And it also comes with you can relinquish this idea of other possibilities. You're like, I chose this. Like, let's do it. I thought about it for a long time mm-hmm. and I made this choice. And that's where I feel like I didn't have in that previous relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a hard choice. It was just somewhere I found myself.
Okay. Yeah. Like, oops.
Here we are. It's 13 years later yeah. and here we are. And that's why we hadn't even talked about getting married, because I think we both felt that we hadn't made this choice.
I see. You're swept up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just were there. We were all of a sudden just like there, and it was too mm-hmm. painful to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, because once you're like locked in like that, it's like ripping apart this like organism.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so it's like it's much more painful to rip the organism apart than to just let it continue doing what it does. Even though if what it does isn't necessarily the exact most satisfactory life for you.
Yeah. Aww. Okay. Having been someone who hasn't had a whole lot of time single, like yeah. now,
like how long?
I have had
how
some
long?
Time. I've had 2 years single.
I would
in
say
my
I've
life.
Had 2 years single in my
okay.
life as well.
Yeah, fist bump that.
Fist bump. I mean, yeah. if I started dating at 12, I guess I was 12 to 14, but there wasn't a lot of. It was just dating here and there. And then 14, I got 14 to 18, then 18 to 31.
Okay.
Then 31 to 33. Then I was off for uh-huh. a year, and then,
all
then
right.
I did it again.
So two separate years.
Two separate years okay. individual, not two
I did
years
that too.
Together.
How interesting.
Yeah.
But like from 13, I was directly in a relationship. Like it, yes. there was no dating.
Oh, okay.
Like I didn't date. Like at least you had a 12. So you were dating at 12? Like
I had
hey
my
girl,
first girlfriend at 12.
Let's go get some sushi.
Her name was Carrie Dinkshin. She lived in Avon, New Jersey.
I love names from elementary and
it's
like middle school.
It's the best. It's the best.
Always.
We started dating because I gave her a ride on my pegs, on my bike.
Oh.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what pegs are?
Yeah, it's your penis.
Gave her a ride. It was our first date. I gave her a ride on my dick on my bike.
Okay.
And then right. there was Carrie Dinkshin. And then I remember, for some reason, I remember all of the girlfriends that I had between 12 and 13. And then there was the English twins who lived in Ocean Grove.
Okay.
They were twins who dated me at the same time.
What?
So weird. So one would date me. And the other would still come out on all our dates. And still, like, when we would talk on the phone, they would both be on the phone with me. And then at a certain point, I don't even remember their names. And then at a certain point, we went to a dance. And the other one took me down to the beach and was like, my sister doesn't want to date you anymore. And I was like, oh. And she's like, but I do. And I was like, oh. And literally, I was like, you're twins. And also, we only hang out together. So I honestly can't tell the two of you apart. And then I think, it was because of, like, and then that was the first time I touched a boob with her.
Aww.
Look at that.
At the beach.
I think one of them was more like, more sex forward than the other one. Mm. And so the first one was like, I don't know. And the second one was like, I got this.
She was just on deck, ready.
Yeah.
Just warming up the whole time.
But we still only hung out together. That is someone, I've looked for the English twins. I might even be remembering their last name wrong, but I have looked and searched online for the English twins, and I cannot find them.
I mean, there's yearbooks, right?
I don't even know what school they went to. I didn't date anybody I went to school with.
Oh.
Everyone I went to school with just hated me.
How did you meet? I guess I only knew people in school because I didn't know how to do anything else.
I was only friends with people who didn't go to school with me.
How did you find them? Like, were you just, like, on the street corner?
Just going to, like dances on the boardwalk. There used to be these public dances on the boardwalk.
Oh, Los Angeles doesn't do those things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, for kids.
Yeah.
This
was small town Jersey Shore.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Woohoo.
Yeah, it's a small town, you know.
All right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Interesting. Right, I mean, I was friends with a few people. I make it sound like everybody hated me, but that's not true. But I was friends with a few, but I only dated people who I didn't go to school with.
Right. Neat. What a different life.
What a different life.
Huh. So
I love that we got into my 12-year-old dating record.
This is great. Yeah.
I haven't thought about them in a while.
That's juicy stuff. That's good. I like origin.
But you know
stories.
What's sad is like whenever you have those memories of people that you like that you saw like when you were a kid,
yeah.
And then you're like, I wonder what they're up to now. And then you go and look, and it's always the saddest.
Yes,
it's
actually.
It's always just like 11 kids and super fat. And you're just like, oh, well.
Well, I grew up in L.A., so,
oh, yeah, so
a lot of
up...
them are lawyers for some reason.
Okay, there you go.
And a lot of them are still like trim and whatever.
That's
and not,
crazy.
And
that's but, crazy. I grew up in the suburbs. Everyone I went to high school with, other than like 7 people, are just, they just look so different. They don't look anything like what they did.
Right, like they're not really necessarily taking care of themselves. Like that kind of looking different, or they aged, like they didn't use sunscreen.
All of that stuff. Everything in between. Just a series of bad life choices.
Okay, yeah. A lot of the people that I grew up with are having babies right now, which is bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to have a baby.
Oh, are you? Oh, you've got baby fever? Your biological clock is singing?
I got baby fever.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Put a baby in it.
I want a baby bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want a baby. I want a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure I'll like the baby when I have the baby, but I'm going to be excited when... Yeah, it's past baby.
When it's a person.
When a person could go surfing with me. That's going to be the best.
Are you West Sider?
What?
Are you a West Sider near the beach?
No.
Okay.
I live on the East Side.
I was about to judge you a little bit.
Mm-mm.
I'm an East Sider, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Well, I grew up on the West Side, too.
Oh, where?
Enough of those people. Santa Monica.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the beach. Hate the people.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's really, they're just vapid weirdos.
Well, actually, I hate the beach, too. I can't swim, and I hate sand. Sand is terrible, and water is terrible.
I cannot believe that you grew up on the beach and hate the beach. It's so sad.
I had body issues as a kid and hated wearing a swimsuit. I did the idea of... Anyway, we're going way off track, but I like it. What I have been told, having gone through this cycle, and I don't know if people told you along this way at all, is, oh, Sandra, you're afraid to be alone. Like, as sort of the, like, oh, I get you before you even get yourself. You're just afraid to be alone. That's why you're constantly in a relationship. Because I would be stressed out and talk to someone and be like, like, you've never been single. And people thought that was so weird, friends of mine. Like, the idea of you're in this long relationship and it's because there's a sense that there's danger away from it. Like you were talking about, you're like two creatures sort of intertwined and tearing you apart. It's like uncomfortable and you have to grow new limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
Does that resonate with you at all?
Yes, it totally does. And I remember, because when we dated that 13-year relationship, it was when I was 22, we were leaving college. And in my mind, for the entirety of college, I had just assumed that we would just break up when we graduated. That was just an assumption I had made and never had shared with her. I had never shared that with her. And then when it came time to graduate, she was just like, well, we shouldn't break up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. And then I think I felt kind of trapped. And then I did this thing where I went and lived in the woods for a month by myself. And the whole reason I said I was doing it was to learn how to be alone without being lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was my, and that is like going cold turkey for heroin. Like it's not the best way to do it. Like it's it is like being alone with friends is a lot easier than being alone. Like darkness, wolves. Bears.
I think psychologically that's actually incredibly unhealthy to experience. Just generally, humans need other humans.
Right.
I mean, sure, some people are quiet.
I mean, it was good. It was there were moments I was looking for something. I definitely found it, but it took a long time. And it also rained 27 out of 30 days.
Did you pick Seattle?
No, it's upstate New York, but it happens to be in a rain basin.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't even know what a rain basin is. Sounds terrible.
It's just like a little bit of a valley that just like all the moisture kind of collects in it. And then it just rains every day.
Oh, man.
Every day.
All right.
For June, at least. So, yeah. So, definitely tried to be, you know. And I think the main thing of being alone without being lonely is realizing that the feeling of loneliness is okay. You know?
Yeah.
Because feeling lonely would drive me crazy. And then I'd be like, I got to go out and meet somebody right now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
And then I would just do insane shit. Where it's like, no. You can be lonely. And feeling sad like that is kind of, it's okay. Like, go into it. And when you commit to going into it, it just dissipates. The fighting it is the feeling of sadness. When you feel lonely and you just like pull back from it, you're like, no, I don't want to feel lonely. That's the part that makes you upset and prolongs that loneliness feeling. Where if you're just like, I'm lonely and sad and this sucks, and you push into it, it seems to just disappear like fog.
Interesting. Okay.
So I'm so glad that you and I are talking about this because we are so different, because that is not at all what I experienced.
Really?
But I think because when people talk about like, oh, I'm lonely, it's like, what the fuck? I love being alone. I love it hard.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a lone wolf that way. And yeah. just
prowling the streets, yeah. Looking at people.
Yeah. Arr, arr, arr. Because it bothered me, like, oh my God, maybe I am afraid of being alone, and what is this, and why? Because I knew there was some terrible feeling about not being in a relationship, and I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And as I spent more time, I had a roommate at first, and I hated that. I love living alone. It's my favorite
living
thing.
No. When you're single, living alone is so great. Living with other people is horrible.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Living alone, I'll always miss that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
Just wake up and just, that's your space. Everything there is yours, and you do what you want with it, and you make it how you want. I would just be so happy to be in my space.
No one's witnessing your weirdness.
Oh, and you can do everything so weird. You can make this whole universe weird. I had just writing all over the wall where I write my stand-up, and I still miss that, having a room that just is covered with my writing that I'm always having to look at and kind of like be around my work, so I have to like kind of improve it.
I like that.
Yeah, it makes for a lot of good ideas. Huh.
You could someday you could live that dream again. You just have a room all for your.
I know. I just have to have a bigger house. Yeah.
Welcome to Los Angeles. Yeah. A little awkward. this took years and whatnot, but I realized that it wasn't loneliness that I was afraid of. It's that through whatever my upbringing was and how I learned to relate to other people, I had no sense of my own boundaries. So I had that like when people talk about being codependent or enmeshed.
Yeah.
I didn't know where I ended and the world began.
Oh, I felt that way completely.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I had no boundaries. Like, I would just tell people on first dates, like, everything about my life.
Yeah.
Like, just everything. And then also just, like, expect things of them that was, like, cuckoo ball insane.
Right. Like, oh, we're best friends. We had a really cool conversation for an hour.
We fucked once. Like, we're dating.
Yeah.
Like, let's hold hands. Walk down the street. I would do that shit all the time.
All right.
All the time.
Okay. Aw, we're the same again.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is healing and beautiful and exciting. And I feel like, because I don't know what to tell people when they're 8 years into a marriage and they're 25, you know, or that,
I don't
that
know
math doesn't make sense.
I mean, it could. 17, getting married at 17.
True.
Yeah.
Because, sure, I mean, part of me wants to be like, clearly you shouldn't have gotten married that early. But I know that there's a lot more nuance to it, and it's around communicating. Like, you know, can you have that conversation at 18 with someone going, you know what, I'm a little freaked out because the idea, like, I want to break up when we graduate. And to know that your reasons are real reasons, that you shouldn't just sort of shove that under the rug. Like,
exactly.
Those are human, natural things to want and be worried about. And like, can you have those conversations? And if you're not, I feel like you're not really showing up in those early relationships. But
I think that there's also an argument to be made for, like, I've been talking about, like, exploring aspects of yourself outside the relationship to come back to a relationship more fully formed. But there is an argument to be made for, like, these early relationships that start early and last for a long time, that there can be an equal amount of exploration of each other in a way. But I do think it's more difficult. Mm-hmm. And I think both people have to be really, really open-minded with each other and communicate constantly. But if that's there, I think that same level of exploration can happen. But it's almost like it's the difference between, like, you know how it's the difference between, like, exploring the universe, like shooting rocket ships out into the universe and going farther and farther, closer down into quantum physics.
Ooh,
you know,
whereas,
like, there's the same amount of complexity as we go down as when we go out. It's just the difference between how you explore it.
I absolutely agree. It does. It feel, I've been a traveler since 16. I've been, like, kind of going around the whole world. And at some point I realized, like, it's not about the outward journey anymore. It's about the inward journey.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just the ad exploration. So I've been, like, super geeking out in there. You know, yeah. It's TARDIS, your insides. You know? Oh, that sounds weird.
TARDIS, your insides?
Yeah.
I mean, we used to do this thing where we would do a, like, 24-hour exploration of a city.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would have to, like, you know, it would be New York often, and it would be all five boroughs in 24 hours, like boat, car, bus, subway, walk. And so you had to take all five modes of transportation. You stayed up for 24 hours, and it was just to explore the city and hang out in it. And we wanted to always... No, this was something I did in...
Oh, okay.
Called Psychogeography Project, which is now the basis of my podcast Get Lost, which I do. But we always wanted to do one that was 24 hours just on 11th Avenue in New York City.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you're familiar with 11th Avenue.
No.
11th Avenue sucks. Like, 11th Avenue is, like, probably, I would say, like, the most barren, sad, lonely, worst avenue in Manhattan. Because it's just, like, car dealerships and hustlers and, like just nothing. It's a strip of nothingness. And
is
like
the
Jacob Javits Center. Yeah, it's all the way on the west side.
Okay, yeah, all right.
And we thought if we had to do 24 hours there, you would really be forced to. You'd almost be spending like an hour per block. And so it's like, what could happen in that hour? Like, you would really be forced into some like deep level shit of exploration of like how to find this block that's just like a brick wall on your left and then the curb on your right. Like, what do you do?
What do you do?
I mean, we did an hour on one block once, and we just watched. We kept racing a paper plate versus a plastic bag. So we would take them and put them at the end of the street, and then wind would blow them, and then we would see who won. So it's like that sort of stuff, where it's like those moments can be so exciting, and then straight up boredom can be interesting as well.
It's true.
Intense boredom.
Yeah. Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention. Boredom is the mother of something.
That is it seems the mother of something?
The mother of paper bag races.
Being bored.
Yeah. Things can be born. Creativity, I think, can be born out of that. I used to daydream a lot as a kid.
Yeah, right?
You know. Okay, what you said about the inward and the outward and all that stuff, I wish I had heard that when I was around 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 21, 22, because I was breaking up with a boyfriend that I loved dearly. I mean, like, we could have been great together, you know, but I wasn't happy, and I didn't know why, and I didn't know how to communicate it. And he said, I need to grow. Like, I still feel like there's a lot I need to do, and it was kind of restrictive, and it was a long-distance relationship. It was difficult. And he sounds so sad. I think we're on the phone. He goes, why can't we just grow together? Like, and I had no idea what to tell him. I didn't know why we had been together for 3 years, and yet it felt like I was trapped and stuck and and I didn't know what that was. I mean, it was sex and it was more flirting and whatever, but it was also so much of life. And I was like, why can't we grow together? And it was all of that communication and being open to the conversation and being able to explore internally together and being honest. You're pointing at me a little bit.
Because, you know, because the flip version of that is if you had stayed together, you've seen this couple where, like, they should have broken up, like, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the dude's just like, well, you know, Jenny's really, she's into exploring this, and, like, she's been, you know, doing this, and so I'm just trying to really be supportive, and that's, and it's obvious that this woman just wants out and just wants to be, like, wild and free on the town, and instead they're, like, trying to work it out, and because oftentimes one person wants to do that, and the other person does not.
Right.
It has to be that thing where both people really want to explore, and that takes two confident, independent people. That, you know, that's a rarity.
Right, because that guy who's like, oh, I'm just trying to be supportive, doesn't sound like he's speaking up for
his needs. He wants. And he's not doing any exploring.
Yeah.
She's just out doing some, like, you know, she's going to Burning Man and getting fucked a bunch. And he's just like at home, like, just like, well, you know, she loves sculpture, so she wanted to go to Burning Man.
Right. Neither of them is showing up. They're acting out in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, this is a weird witnessing that I almost, it's like kind of the skeevier side of all this.
Uh-huh.
Skeevy, is that a weird word?
That's
I don't
a
know
real
if I'm
word.
Making that up or
it's
if it's close
word.
To a real word.
Yeah. It comes from the Old English skevei.
Ooh.
Yeah.
For super
for,
gross?
It was a word for sailors to use to mean the accumulation of fecal matter on the deck after a storm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is this a real thing?
No.
Okay, because it sounds so sad as a sailor at sea having to deal with that. I'm so sad for
Who's
them.
Who's shitting on deck? What are these monsters doing?
That's true.
And why are they shitting on deck during a storm?
I imagine, like, the outhouse is, like, washing
up. Oh, it washes up. That's what happened. Yeah,
but
the
you
outhouse.
Would be tossing it over, obviously.
Exactly.
So silly. It's very silly. No, I have had female friends who are, you know, more promiscuous and active and, you know, and kind of like having this wild, you know, maybe coworkers that I'm buddies with. And I always was friends with a female who was flirting with a guy But he'd have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And but they'd kind of still have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
They'd sleep together, maybe just make out, and there'd be that sexual tension. You know, it's like, oh, I shouldn't, but like, oh, and then they get together. And like, oh, and that whole, oh, he's going to leave her for me thing kind of starts to happen. And like, clearly we're way more, there's way more passion there. There's, we need to be together. And he'd be like feeding it too.
Yeah.
And I'd be hearing it from her side, but I'd kind of, and like, I'd try not to enable that because I didn't, I didn't approve of that unethical type of relating. However, it was like, well, you're my buddy. And like, okay, just whatever, you're adults. And what would happen, and I've seen this a couple times with different people, and this is just anecdotes, but it's still what I've seen, is eventually it would, she'd kind of give up, or he'd say no or whatever, and it would stop, and then boom, he'd marry his girlfriend. Like, it was the test to see something else. Like, he was trying to get out. But then he decided that he, and then it would be scary, and I'd see it in his eyes because I'd be at the bar, and I'd kind of, like, it almost felt like he wasn't really. And so I know of men in the world married to women who were cheating right before they got engaged.
Oh yeah.
And then when I see them on, let's say, Facebook, whatever, I think, dude, I have a feeling that you're probably not in that great of a relationship, or maybe they stepped up and finally fully
it
committed.
It can go either way.
Yeah, but it's just part of my heart just gets kind of sad, you know, when see that. Like, why did you get, like, was it that scary? Was it really that scary, you know?
I mean, but also maybe it's the other side of it, too, where it's like he saw what it could have been like, do you know what I mean? And was like, I don't want that. This is what I got's pretty good. Yeah. I'm gonna lock it down.
True, yeah.
You know? But also I do think that, like, there's no, the person that you cheat on a relationship with is never gonna be the person you just end up. I mean, maybe it is.
Well, sometimes it is. I mean, sometimes the story is that,
right?
Depending on what the, because, you know, it's all those little, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Facebook says.
Again, there's no way to. That's the thing. You can never judge a relationship from the outside because the inside is so much more complicated.
Yeah. Just whenever I know secret information, because I mean, I get told some things, you know, and I can't tell anyone else because that would be that would just be awful. But when I see them in relation to their partner and I know what I know, sometimes I'm like, oh, there's two people who, they still haven't gotten to that place where they're being honest with each other. So there's just sort of this, I guess I feel a little allergic to inauthenticity. I'm like, ugh, it tastes weird. It feels weird in my heart, you know?
So here's my question then for you is that, I feel like we're not dishonest with each other, but my fiance and I, but like, we also haven't talked. We've never broached the topic of each other's past sexual history.
Uh-huh.
And because I just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And because I did it with a previous girlfriend and it like really like ruined things. Like I couldn't
get
the images out of my head.
Okay.
And so I was just like, you know what? I would prefer not to know. And so therefore we haven't talked about it. Now, do you feel like that's a level of dishonesty?
No. I mean, I think the value in knowing someone's history and being able to handle all of those aspects of a person and seeing someone as that 360-degree dimension, three-dimensional human, at some point it would probably be valuable to know these things.
Mm-hmm.
And because we put all this stuff on what a person's sexual history means. And, you know what that means if you slept with 5 people versus 20 people or, you know, having a, you know, what some people call their slutty phase or, and you don't necessarily need to, but I see that as just an opportunity for growth. You know, that it's some, like, maybe some, you know, just reflection of like, huh, what is that? Is it territory? Like, what is it in you that is making it that way? You know, like what, why is it so strong and like, oh, and like, you know, why do red lights flash when that happens? And are those images, you know, like, I'm curious. Yeah. I'm just curious.
I think it's just like a base, like, no, you know, like, that's super, mine.
And there is a certain hotness and wonderful about that sort of, like, intense ownership where, you know, as long as it's got a healthy balance in there. Like, there is something lovely about
that. I keep
her
in a cage. I mean, how healthy is that? I think it's most healthy. I let her out. I let her out to pee and poop.
And perform.
And really. Perform, yeah. Right. And do great one-woman shows.
Right. Kurt, thank you.
No problem.
For coming out and talking about this.
Happy to end suggesting that I keep my fiancé in a cage.
I know. We all have room for growth. And someday you're going to leave it unlocked a little bit more. You know, I respect that. Why not? Cool. So you host K-Hole.
The K-Hole. Yeah, I'm the Nerdist. And also, please, you know, I jet skied from Chicago to New Orleans in order to send 500 goats and 1,000 chickens to Africa. So we're still trying to raise money. We've only raised money for like 220 goats so far. And it ends at the end of like July 24th.
Fantastic.
So if you could go and donate some money, that would be fantastic.
Heifer International is a warm, soft place in my heart for
yeah,
them.
Just Google jet ski for goats.
Yeah, cool. What's your Twitter account?
My name, Kurt Brown Alert.
Okay, B-R-O-W-N.
No, just Google Kurt Comedy. Okay. It all comes up.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Go Team Fun.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.